the Matt Bubala Show on 720 WGN. Well, on Friday and in the last few months since November, early November, we've heard a lot of talk about the changing world we live in and how America will change over the next 4 years, for good or bad. And there have been a lot of talk and a lot of movement with marches and rallies this weekend and a lot of people saying that we should do more acts of kindness or more good for the world to try to combat what's perceived as the negative way we might be headed. And who better to do that than the younger generation, right? Millennials, who get such a bad mark on them for how they are perceived to be, are the generation that have the most to offer as we look ahead to the future. Somebody who looks very closely into what that generation does and how they spend their money and what they're looking to do with the world is a woman named Melanie Schreffler. She is the Senior Insights Director at Cassandra. She joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Melanie, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you for having me today.
Absolutely. Thank you for being with us. Tell us what Cassandra is.
Cassandra is an organization that helps brands and marketers and advertisers better understand young consumers, primarily millennials and Gen Z, so that they can unlock business opportunities with them and be able to better target their marketing toward that generation.
Millennials and Gen Z, where is the, I've read about this recently a little bit, and it doesn't seem to be an exact agreement on who are millennials and or Gen Z or where they start and where they end. How do you look at that group?
Sure, that's very true. A lot of squiffiness around exactly how we define generations. At Cassandra, we define millennials as having been born between 1980 and 1996, and then Gen Z are the ones who are born 1997 to present. But we primarily focus on the 14 to 34-year-old age range, because really that's when young people have the greatest impact on culture and make the biggest difference in terms of how society is moving forward.
It's not when people have their most money, though. So why is that generation always the one that advertisers are so going after? Is it because they're going to form loyalty to brands or because they can convince older people to shop certain ways? Why do they have so much power?
It's very much both of those things, particularly the idea that they are the ones who are driving shifts in culture. So they're not only changing what's going on around them with young, like their peers, other young people, but they're pulling other generations into what they think is important. So if you think about, you know, your mom might have not been on Snapchat, but the fact that their children are on Snapchat, their children are the ones who are pulling them onto those new platforms or into a new way of thinking. So that's really why we're concentrating on that 14 to 34-year-old bracket, because they are the ones who are making the biggest difference and the ones that brands have the hardest time adjusting to. They have new ideas, new ways of doing things, and it's when they're the ones who are driving those changes in society overall.
And I imagine that happens with every generation, right? The younger generation has different ideals because of the world around them, because of what their parents experienced and how they were raised. How is this generation different, say, from Generation Xers?
Sure. Millennials were actually raised to be very optimistic, although sometimes that optimism is very pie in the sky and they don't always necessarily follow through. They were really told that they could accomplish anything, you know, put your mind to it and you can do it. So they have very lofty ideals, and that definitely affects their social consciousness, as you were talking about, particularly when it comes to political situations or social issues that they want to change. And then if you're looking at Gen Z, so those who are aged 19 and under now, they are very pragmatic. They want to actually affect change. So really, they're kind of a dynamic duo when you put them together. You've got millennials coming up with these great ideas and getting the ball rolling on these great ideas. And then, fortunately, we've got Gen Zs coming after them who will be the ones to really put these ideas into action.
So that's interesting. So millennials get a bad rap. You say the word millennial, there's a negative connotation to it for the most part amongst older people, right? When we talk about the workplace, things like that. And the way you just described them does not seem to dissuade from that. They're big ideas, people. They don't get it done. I know that's not what you said,
right,
but it's sort of like the takeaway a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, though, because at least they're putting out ideas. They're changing the conversation. That's kind of what they're really known for, that pivot mentality of, okay, we're not able to do this, so now we're going to change our minds and we're going to go do this. And that actually is not necessarily a negative. They're spurring on ideas for change, and that then is, like I said, being carried out by the younger generation and sometimes also by the older generations.
So one of the interesting things about millennials and Gen Z that you research a little bit is their ideas on doing good for the world. As a Gen Xer, I don't believe I ever really thought about that in my 14 to 34 years about where I'm spending my money and is this brand good for the world, things like that. But these kids today, I can't believe I just said that phrase, are actually thinking about these things. They want to spend their money in better places. Is that right?
That's absolutely true. It's interesting. We talk a lot about how millennials have a very positive outlook on the world. They are very optimistic. But the number one thing that really stresses them out are social causes, social issues. And so they don't always feel that they can make a significant impact because they're just one person, one idea. And so it's really hard for them to actually see that going all the way through. So it's something that stresses them out on a constant basis. And we find that the way that they're dealing with this is basically through small acts. So whether that be a small act of kindness, buying somebody a cup of coffee, giving a homeless person a dollar on the street, contributing $5 to somebody's, march that they're doing for an issue that matters to them. So it's all of these little bits that they hope is adding up to a collective change, because it's not just one person who's doing this, it's an entire generation, and that generation is the largest to have ever graced the United States. So when they act collectively, that one drop in the bucket becomes an overflowing bucket of a movement. And so that's what they're really hoping to drive in terms of creating change.
So let me ask you, Melanie, because I wonder if, because they have the negative connotation, they've been called the me generation as well. And and I feel like somebody else might spin what you just said as they don't want to do anything, they don't want to get involved, so they'll just spend their money on little things that can't really make a difference, but make them feel good about themselves. Is that unfair?
I don't think that's necessarily unfair, because they really are doing these small acts of kindness in a way that what they can do, it's what they can afford. You mentioned they don't have a ton of money at this point in their lives, and so they can't, necessarily afford a huge donation to a charity or something. They're also at that point when their careers, they really need to be, showing that they're dedicated to their jobs and working really hard. So it's hard for them to take time away to be able to volunteer a ton. So being able to do small things here and there is really what they're able to accomplish at this point. And it does sound negative to say that it needs to be convenient to them, but it's absolutely true. There's limited time, limited resources. They're constantly bombarded by information. So the easier that a brand or a charity can make it for them to contribute, the more likely you're going to get them to do that. And truthfully, that's likely true of all generations. So it's not necessarily just millennials who are looking for an easy way to make a difference.
Well, I imagine it also is just the world around you at the time you grew up, right? I mean, if we talk about other generations that, got out and marched against inequality or against certain things that really fought back, that might be because they faced this life where they saw these horrendous, horrendous things happening all the time. Not to say we don't have that now, because of course we do. But we also live in a time where in the last 8 years we achieved marriage equality and a lot of other social causes really gained ground. And so maybe this is a generation that isn't ready to pick up and fight because there hasn't been as much. They've seen a lot of success maybe where previous generations didn't. And so maybe it's a little unfair to say, well, they're not willing to go out and do anything because they haven't seen what other generations have seen to have to get up and fight against.
Well, in fact, actually, so while the small acts of kindness that I mentioned, where it might be a quick online donation or signing a petition, those are the most common that millennials are engaging in, they actually are starting to engage in social activism in real time, in person, going to marches, going to events, making sure that they're spreading the word about these causes, partly because I think that for a long time they thought the world was a really good place, and then all of a sudden they looked around themselves and said, oh my goodness, it's actually not what I thought that it was. So they are increasingly doing what you saw previous generations do, going out there, creating a groundswell in person. The number of marches that we saw just in New York City alone around Black Lives Matter was significant. The number of times that you saw people sharing, on social media that they were at a cause, not just about the cause, but they were at a march, they were at a protest, they were right there, supporting Bernie. When they feel that their collective statement can make a difference, they will 100% go out and make the effort.
How much, I have to ask you about this because as a parent of, I guess, a Gen Zer, because our oldest, actually all of our kids, I guess, have been born since 96. So how do the parents affect the generation? Do you look into that at all or think about that at all? Because, you know, we have a bad rap as parents these days as being helicopter parents, and everybody gets a trophy just for showing up at the event, whatever, whatever, whatever. So there's a bad rap going on with us. So how does that affect the kids we're raising in that generation of consumers and socially conscious kids or not that, that are coming into the world?
Absolutely. It has a very significant effect. With millennials, they were largely raised by boomers who, again, were, you know, they were the groundswell that you were talking about in past decades where they were out there, they were having sit-ins, they were having marches, they felt the need to do everything that they could with the resources that they had. The resources, of course, have changed. You know, millennials have the internet at their disposal and they feel that they can get a lot of a message out that way, though they are starting to campaign in person. But that drive from their parents and that push to make a difference in the world is exactly what is causing so much stress in millennials' lives around this idea of making the world a better place. It's why they feel that they need to contribute to every cause that comes their way in some way, shape, or form. And that fact that they've got so many causes that they're constantly being talked to about, told about, shown how important they are to make a difference on, that's why they're having to spread their wealth across a number of different causes, because they recognize that every single one of these are valid, important things that need to change. So that drive from their parents is really what's pushing a lot of their actions right now. It also likely had a big effect on the fact that they were largely just protesting online and making statements online early on, because millennials' parents were very concerned about them getting hurt, getting injured. They were very protective of these children who were, you know, going to be this glorious future of the country and of the world. And so they didn't encourage their children to take risks that could cost them. They were very conscientious of really just positioning them to do the things that they knew would pay off, that they knew could make a difference. So that sheltered, you know, cushioned life that they were living for a while with, you know, a great deal of optimism swirling around them might have held them back from truly making a difference, until they started to see more and more, you know, as they have a very diverse spectrum of friends, not only in the U.S., but, you know, in other countries, you know, through digital connections, they're really able to see the broad swath of injustices that are going on in the world now. And that's really spurring them to start to take more risks, to be physically present for protests, to possibly even get arrested for a cause that they care a lot about.
We're speaking with Melanie Schreffler. She is the Senior Insights Director at Cassandra. You can find more at cassandra.co, cassandra.co. When we come back, how does all of this that Melanie studies affect the brands that are trying to reach those kids and through those kids reach us adults? We'll find out next. Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN. It's the Matt Bubala Show on 720 WGN, continuing our conversation with Melanie Schreffler, the Senior Insights Director at Cassandra. Find more information at cassandra.co. You can follow Melanie on Twitter at Melanie Muses. That's a very nice Twitter handle, Melanie. I like that.
Thank you.
All right. So all these brands that you're helping to know all this about the kids today, how does that affect their advertising, and how does the way that they advertise to those kids affect us adults who are the ones with the money to really spend on all of these things? You know, I've read a lot about the younger generations today are more of an experience generation than a possession generation. When I was young and got married, we had to get a house and a mortgage and all the trappings of life that then weigh you down. And from what I understand, that's less likely to be the case for kids these days. They want to travel. They want to see the world. They want to experience things more than say, hey, look at my car, look at my house, look at what I have.
That's absolutely true. They are very much interested in experiences. Those are the elements of life that truly set them apart. And one reason that experiences are so important to them is because they feel that, unlike a product, for example, that just serves a function, experiences actually help them grow as a person, help them relate to more people, help them become more well-rounded, help them become smarter, more savvy individuals that then translates to greater success in life.
So tell me about us as adults who are shopping and the way that these brands, I mean, if kids don't want possessions, how do you, is it about the brands making whatever they're selling seem more like an experience, seem more like a lifestyle? Or is it really important for them to show how good they are for the world, too? What gets the kids into a brand these days?
Sure. Most brands are actually shifting to become more of a lifestyle brand and to have a certain ethos, a certain statement that they want to make in the world. You know, everybody does still need certain possessions. We all need clothes. We all need, you know, shoes. We all need a bag to carry our stuff in. So there are obviously still, shopping opportunities and retail opportunities for brands out there to target young people in particular. But as it's easy now to find so many, similar products, similar price points, similar functionality, really the way to set yourself apart as a brand is to showcase a particular lifestyle or oftentimes to showcase a particular social cause. And we're seeing more and more brands that set themselves apart that way have greater success. You know, obviously Tom's is one that comes immediately to mind who, by pushing the one-to-one movement, but still, you know, having that whole vibe, more than just a one-to-one thing, there's a whole lifestyle around the Tom's brand, and you can sort of picture the Tom's consumer in your mind, you know, as a person who's a little bit more casual, not as uptight, who's really trying to make a difference in the world. So that actually then translates to greater affinity for the brand and then ultimately, of course, greater sales.
What do you see the latest trends being as you move forward and as this generation ages a little bit?
You know, it's interesting because for a long time you saw everybody making a green claim. You know, we're eco-conscious, we're eco-friendly. And then there was the one-to-one claim, we're giving, you know, something to somebody in need. And the new trend that's really starting to set people apart is transparency in how they run their business and transparency in how they treat their workers. So that can range from a brand like Oliver Cabell that does beautiful high-end luxury Italian bags and accessories, showing very clearly exactly why that product costs what it costs. So the cost of materials, the cost of labor, they can show that they're paying their workers well. They can show that they're being fair trade. The cost of transportation of getting that product from one place to another, the cost of any tariffs or duties that they might have to pay to get that product to another country. And you can see then as a consumer exactly what you're paying for. Or in the case of Everlane, you see exactly how they pay their workers. You see that when they do a big Black Friday event every year where they give back to their workers to provide a better quality of life for the people that they are employing by giving all the profits that they make on Black Friday back to their workers. So it's initiatives like this that are really making a difference now and show a greater concern for human interest and human social causes, which has really taken over from the be green type of social cause.
Yeah, it's fascinating. How much do we really follow along with whatever's being aimed at the kids? I mean, when you watch TV, I don't pay enough attention to it, or if I wonder if all of us perpetually think we're younger than we are and feel like advertising does make sense towards us as well. I don't feel like as I'm watching advertising that it's mostly aimed at that generation. Is it, and I don't realize it, or do they just pick and choose their spots and I'm not watching the things that 18 to 34 year olds are watching?
Well, it's funny that you suggest that they're going to see advertising that's on TV, like you're seeing advertising that's on TV,
true.
Because they're probably not. They're probably not. They're probably seeing advertising that comes along in a lot of different ways. And really, kind of how I was talking about the shift in what a product does and the mentality around every product can, you know, you can find a bag that will serve a function pretty similarly at a certain price point that all kind of looks the same. So there's really no differentiation about that. The same is now true in advertising. If you can't have advertising that really just focuses on the functional benefits of a product or the specs of a product necessarily as it did in past decades. Now it's really about projecting a certain lifestyle. So advertising has almost gone sort of underground, where you'll see a lot of brands, instead of producing a traditional spot, they'll produce a mini movie that may not actually seemingly have anything to do with the brand, but then all of a sudden at the end you realize, oh, that was all about that brand. You know, the Scarecrow spot from Chipotle is probably the most classic example of that people would have heard of already. But we're seeing this happen more and more with brands like Starbucks creating a mini TV series that has nothing to do with Starbucks, but showcases that certain lifestyle and that certain, you know, element of the brand that's almost intangible.
Does that work? Do you feel like it really does work? Because, I mean, the old and hard, fast rules of advertising, right, are about the product and making sure they remember what it is. And, you know, if you're talking about a Scarecrow ad and then in the end say, yeah, I don't remember what that was for, but it was really cool. Is that something that the advertiser thinks, no, that's beneficial? Because then the friend will say, no, that was for Chipotle. Or is it, oh, my God, they didn't even know what it was for?
Believe it or not, they actually know. They notice more when it's that type of ad than when it's a traditional type of ad where it's, this is the product, this is the functionality, this is the brand that it comes from. They tune that out. They don't need to hear any of that, because if they want to know what the functional benefits are, if they want to know more about a brand, they can find that out, you know, pretty easily online, all of those, you know, kind of standard details. It's really that lifestyle type of element, that intangible that I was mentioning that actually resonates more. They perk up when they see that. So when we ask in our qualitative research, when we ask young people, oh, what brand is really, you know, what brand has the best ads? What brand is the most socially conscious? What brand is doing the most to help the world? They remember immediately and they will say, oh, that Chipotle ad with the Scarecrow, it was fantastic. You know, when I first saw it, you know, it was just, it had me riveted. And then at the end, I was like, oh my gosh, it's Chipotle. It's that connection. They absolutely form that connection between the brand and that lifestyle message completely.
Melanie Schreffler is the Senior Insights Director at Cassandra. Melanie, can I ask, I don't mean to get personal with you, but how old are you?
I'm not a millennial, if that's the question. I am not a millennial. I am just outside of the range. I was on the cusp, I like to say, for a long time. But no, I'm not a millennial, but I've been studying them for nearly a decade, and now I'm excited to be studying Gen Z as well, because if you thought millennials changed things, the next generation is going to do even more.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, you can find out more from Melanie. Follow her on Twitter at Melanie Muses, and more from Cassandra Company at cassandra.co. Melanie Schreffler, thank you so much for being on the phone with us.
Thank you for having me.
So today I hear myself saying kids these days. Tomorrow I'll steal Kathy and Judy's Get Off My Lawn. Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN.